This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Welcome in, everyone, to the live reaction show with Steve Wiss. And he's back by popular demand. Neil Channing is on the board. Neil, how are you? Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter. I'm excited to be here. You got me in. You've picked a good game for us today.
Massive game.
Exciting. It's a massive game, isn't it?
Yeah, if you don't like soccer, then this is, what's the point after when there's a game like this on, a potential title decider at the Etihad Stadium? That's the place to start, really, isn't it? Manchester City against Arsenal. And do you know what? I was just looking at the odds, and Manchester City are odds against at home in a Premier League game. I was trying to do some late research and the last time this actually happened in a meaningful game, and it must have been a long time ago, Neil. There's going to be some people looking at this like here. Man City plus 102.
I thought you were going to tell me when it was then. I'm doing some research. You didn't do much research if you couldn't tell me when it was.
It might be a bit of research on the go here. The tie is plus 255. Arsenal plus 275. That's got to be one of the shortest prices for any away side at the Etihad in a long time, Neil.
Go on.
Where would your money be? First and foremost, where would your money be on the money line if you had
to? Well, I haven't had a bet, actually. I've had a bet in the game. I haven't had a bet on the 1-2x market. I mean, I think in these kind of games where it's two massive teams in a massive game, and we're talking now 8 minutes before kickoff, it's reasonable to say that the prices are going to be about correct now. Of course, that doesn't mean that people won't be cracking away having a bet on them because, it's a huge game and people want to watch something. I had a little bit, more of a fun bet, really, just on it to be 0-0 at half time, which was just about 9-4 plus 220, plus 225. So I just thought that was quite an interesting, on the basis that it's such a big game for these teams, they're going to play quite tight, quite early. I mean, for Arsenal, if City win, I mean, the current prices on the title, Arsenal are about 3-1 to win the title. If City win, they're going to be nearer to 10-1. They can get away with a draw. They just need City not to win, really. I mean, if it's a draw, I don't think Arsenal's title chances really change at all. And obviously, if Arsenal win, then it's brilliant for them. They actually would go favourite to win the title if they win the game today. I think Liverpool would. It would be a good result for Liverpool as well. They would shorten up a little bit, and City would drift enormously. Currently, the title, City are 6-4, Liverpool around about 8-5. So it's it's huge.
Raymond Reddington, welcome in and appreciate your kind comments. Yeah, we did have some decent winners over the weekend on the previous shows we've done. A bit of a mixed bag, but if you pick the right spots, as always, Raymond, you're going to be in the money. I think, Neil, I like the tie in this game. It's not often I would bet the tie or even tip the tie up, and this is not anything major by any stretch of the imagination, but plus 255. It feels like the sort of game no one wants to lose. Because
I agree with that. I mean, I think if Arsenal are holding City to a draw with 20 minutes to go, they won't be doing a lot of pressing forward. They'll be pretty happy to get a draw. I agree with you on that for sure.
That would be the direction I go in. I've had so many different messages, and there's loads of different. It's one of those games where there's loads of difference of opinion. Some people are saying overs, some are saying unders, some are saying Manchester City are going to show their class, some are saying this is Arsenal's time now to shine.
Well, the under-overs is fascinating, isn't it? I was reading a thing this morning about goals per game in the Premier, and the highest ever average goals per game in a season was last season at 2.7. It's been 2.7 before, actually. But it's quietly crept up over the last 10 years. But this year, I don't know whether you saw this thing, Steve. Do you know what the number is this year for average goals per game?
I feel like Dan Roebuck's been telling me this all the time. It's high. Is it over 3?
3.3. It's jumped 0.6 goals a game in one season. I mean, it seems insane when you. I mean,
based on that. Big I mean, this goal line is low. This is over 2.5 goal line at minus 117. Should you just get on this blind?
Well, obviously, a lot of those games where, you know, these top teams play one of the bottom teams, you get a lot of goals, don't you? And, we've got some teams in the Premier. That Spurs game yesterday, have you ever seen that before? The over-under market, the line they were using was 4.5. For a Premier game, 4.5.
Unbelievable. I couldn't believe
and,
it.
I mean, just... over was a small dog there. I think the under was about, 8 to 11-ish or something like that, minus whatever that is. Yeah, I'm trying to do American in my head.
Well, I actually tweeted it out yesterday. I couldn't believe that the line was 4.25 at that point. And I was like, I still wouldn't dare bet the under because I fancied it to be a really high-scoring game. I mean, it gets to a stage, I suppose, where everyone's got their price, where no matter how uncomfortable it is, you've got a strike, perhaps, if it meets.
Well, I don't know. I mean, looking at it, I mean, I don't know whether the market's even caught up yet. You know, it feels to me like the market hasn't caught up. The guys I follow on the Premier, they're mostly betting overs. They're almost exclusively betting overs. They hardly ever bet unders. They do bet a few sides, but they're getting like 4% on Premier bet on bets in the Premier League this year. And I would say 90% of their bets are just betting overs.
I think the BetRivers Because We Win Premier League show is about the only place you'll find any under tips for the Premier League anymore from Nigel Seeley.
I have had an under bet this afternoon, actually, if you want. I think the game, I don't know whether it started yet, in the Bundesliga. I had an unders bet in the Bundesliga. It's just about to kick off. Stuttgart are playing against Heidenheim.
I'm on a team, so I'm against you here, I think, Neil, probably.
Stuttgart are very short price to win the game. I've had a little unders bet. I mean, it's quite a high line. It was under 3.25.
I think I'm on Stuttgart team total over 2.5. So,
well, there
three nil would do us perfect.
We'll all be happy. Everyone's happy.
It's a match that I'm interested in because Heidenheim have actually completely defied me all season, Neil. They've been one of those sides that have miraculously overachieved, both in terms of performance and metrics. And it's getting to the stage where I just really want to see them get absolutely stuffed, to be honest with you, at some point before the end of this season. I really want to see them take a bit of a slaughtering. And today, I'd take the 3-0 and move on.
I'm going to do a little bit of under 3.5 just to add to my position so that I can be absolutely pleased for you when it's 3-0. I don't want to be upset with you in any way.
Yeah, so I've got my eye on that game. I do have my eye on the Ren game as well, Strasbourg against Ren. It's currently 0-0.
My game that I've got an eye on the moment that's in running. I played the over. I don't like to after time, but you know I did come in on the half time. So what can I do? I did play the over in the Girona against Betis game, and we got one of those lovely ones when you get a 49th minute goal at the end of the first half. That's always good when you've played the over. I love those ones.
Well, if you're betting at half time, that's the perfect scenario, isn't it? You get an early second half goal. And if you didn't strike, you curse yourself, don't you? But this is before we finish the show, I'll talk about the big game in France later, Le Classique down on the south coast, Marseille against PSG.
Oh,
But yes, Neil.
What time's that?
That is a 7:45 kickoff time in the UK.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you though about this thing we were talking about with the goals in the Premier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what would you? Obviously, there's multiple reasons why this is happening. Why has it specifically happened this year much more than, you know, the last couple of years? You know, I've heard people say, well, it's to do with changes in the coaching styles, or it's a better quality of referees. They're less afraid to give penalties these days. I don't know. Obviously, the ball is in play a lot more. They're happier to add on the proper amount of injury time rather than just a kind of a sort of normal amount. It feels to me like none of those things have really just changed since last season. Am I wrong there?
I've got a few theories about this, and specifically why the Premier League, the goals have gone up. I think this story starts back during COVID times, Neil, where they changed the rules of substitutions. Mm. You were allowed to bring three on. Now you're allowed to bring five on, right? Okay, so that's important. You're bringing fresh legs in. Now, in the Premier League, there's more high-value footballers than anywhere else in the world. So it's all well and good in, say, I don't know, the Slovenian League or somewhere like that, where you're allowed to bring your subs on. In the Premier League, they're bringing on sometimes 50 million worth of talent.
Mm.
So that is so significant. You know, these big teams especially have got loaded benches. So that's a factor. And then what's happened now is the FIFA directives, they are adding a lot more time on at the end of the games. Yeah. I mean, plus 15 minutes yesterday in the Sheffield United fixture.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Brentford Man United would have ended 0-0 in years gone by. But both goals came after the 96th minute. I think it's a concoction of factors, and it's why it's not all happening in every other league, because it's like, as with a lot of things in life, it's kind of like the stars have got to align a little bit.
Yes.
Certain things have come together in one. And the Premier League.
But why did none of that happen last year, though? I mean, obviously, last year was high anyway. It was 2.7, but it's gone up 0.6 of a goal since last year.
That is huge, yeah. And that is perhaps more.
I mean, is that more to do with the teams that we've got? A couple of teams like Luton and Spurs that have just gone a bit crazy, really. And I don't know who the other
Coach
ones are.
Coach Zanko, my head. Welcome in. Just want to welcome in a friend of mine, Coach Zanko. And maybe I did mention the Slovenian just because of you, Coach, as well. He's
I felt like you were having a slight dig at Slovenia. I was thinking, God, I hope no one from Slovenia is watching.
It was no particular coincidence, Daniel. But, the managers that are in the league this year are mostly quite offensive-minded. The teams that have come up, Burnley, Luton and Sheffield United, at times have been awful. They've not been good enough. So again, I think what will happen next season, Neil, is we'll still get quite a lot of goals in the Premier League, but what is it, 3.3 goals per game average?
It's crazy, isn't it?
That can't continue. That's got to come down to maybe three.
Normally, that is a feeling that I would have, that things regress to the mean. I feel like there's been a basis change. The game has just changed and the market hasn't really kept up with it, presumably because the market thinks, well, it'll just regress to the mean. I don't know. I'm finding it.
Why hasn't the market kept up with it though? Because you could say now we are starting to get some higher goal lines, but are they high enough?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I find myself betting over in a lot of Spurs games, and that has not been a bad policy this year. So and you would think that's a fairly sort of brainless strategy, really, isn't it? I mean, it feels like a fairly kind of muggy play, but it's been a winning play.
The under bettors have struck back a little bit this weekend. I've never seen so many chances missed across the whole.
I did play over in that Man U Brentford game. I felt a bit robbed there, to be honest.
There was a lot of so many, and I think that might be because teams have come back from the international break and there's a little bit of rust around. But some of the metrics, I mean, the Liverpool game this afternoon, that I don't know how that's ended under 3.5.
Yeah,
many chances galore. But you'd be very worried as an under bettor looking at the actual metrics, because normally you would be getting minimum four goals in a lot of these games. The Spurs game yesterday should have gone over, really, as well.
Yes.
It's not just like teams are fluking goals. The numbers are there to plain to see. that we should expect this number of goals. So, yeah, I think...
And also in Italy as well. It's not just, you know, I mean, I was talking to you last time I was on about, you know, betting a lot of overs in Italy. I bet a few yesterday and it just feels like, well, I mean, I don't want to bock it for myself, but it does feel a bit like printing money on the Italy stuff. I find you pick the right games,
yeah.
Atalanta right and Sassuolo, I just find I'm like every week, I'm just like, oh, who are they playing? Yeah, bet the over, no problem.
Well, Liverpool are playing Atalanta in the Europa League soon. I mean, those both games, I think I'll take over 3.5 in both, whatever, blind, because it's just crazy stuff. Coach Sanko, I do like the draw, the tie in this game. If I had to lean in either direction, it would therefore be Arsenal on the double chance. But of course, I'm tentative. It never feels right to bet against Manchester City at home. But yeah, it's all about adapting, Neil, isn't it? In terms of not just goal lines, but also trends that go over in soccer, in any sport, really.
And yeah,
I suppose
for sure.
It's then identifying where when the books have got it wrong, but also when they're starting to cotton on and get it right again. Is there any telltale signs? Do you follow the money, or do you?
I think in Serie A, they're just not, the market has just not caught up at all. It's been 2 years now that I've been pretty much religiously, not every game, but you know, I find myself betting over in 40% of Serie A games. And you know, it just keeps working. That seems like a very kind of routine thing for me to do these days.
We're going to talk about some betting strategies soon. Same game parlays. I've got a lot of messages about that. Mm-hmm. Bet builders, things. But just whilst Manchester City Arsenal's on, I know you were on the opposite side of the fence for a lot of your betting career, Neil, and in terms of like outrights and big games like this, where the handle's probably high, the first thing you mentioned there was intriguing to me. You were thinking not just about this match, but the outright markets as well. Is there going to be a lot more generally money in the outright markets as, you know, a liabilities for books, would you say?
No,
or would it be this match on its own?
It'll be the individual matches totally swamp any of the kind of long-term markets by, you know, gazillions. I mean, you can look on, you know, on the exchanges and you can see the amount matched. You know, there's been, on the main exchange, there's been about 8 million matched on the Premier League this year, which is, you know, that's way off what it would have been years ago. There's been 2.5 million matched just on this match today.
And that's only 7 minutes in.
Yeah, I would say that the you know, don't forget, most of the money matched on the Premier League is matched in the closed season, in the run up to the new season.
Yeah.
People get their bets on. Most people don't look at it again, hardly. Maybe at Christmas time or something, they have a bit of a go. It's very interesting this year because it's the first year for a while that we've had three genuine contenders. And you know, as I say, on the result of this match, we'll have a different favourite depending on which of the three results we get. If this match ends in a draw, Liverpool will go favourites to win the league. If this match ends in a City win, obviously City, who are already favourites, will become they'll become an odds-on favourite. And if Arsenal somehow win the match, they'll go favourite to win the league. So, you know, it's a massive match for that market, but there's no way that there won't be too many bookies in the UK that would be thinking, oh, we've got to slightly adjust our prices on the match because of a position that we've got in the outright. The amount of swing, the amount of money that they've got tied up in the outright is not enough to make them.
Yeah.
You know, so, mostly these markets in these big Premier games, there's an Asian market which is weak early in the week these days. It's not really a very strong market, but it becomes very strong on the day. And there's an exchange market, and the exchange market kind of leads everything these days. This is quite interesting in the opening here. Man City have shortened up. You know, generally speaking, a short price favourite as time decays, they slightly drift. Man City were 11 to 10, plus 110 to win this game, or 2.1 in decimals if you prefer. 10 minutes with no goal, you would sort of think they would slightly drift, maybe go to 2.2, 6-5. They've shortened up. Yeah, they're shorter than evens now to win the game. So
it's been a fairly open-ish.
You'd expect
the open start. They'll sometimes settle down after 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think so.
There's been a disallowed goal, you'd be pleased to know, Neil, in the Stuttgart game. Stuttgart thought they were 1-0 up. Serhu Girasse, who has scored
a lot of goals. That's the sort of thing I like to hear.
This season, I tell you, Heidenheim games just absolutely infuriate me. Something always goes wrong for me in these games, Neil. This will end 0-0 based on how Heidenheim have done for me all season. He's offside by a toenail, by the looks of it.
I do quite like betting the halftime score. I took a little bit of 4-1, 0-0 halftime in that game.
I've started to get into halftime betting a lot more this season. I haven't
got the numbers in front of me, but it would strike me that a lot of these extra goals per game that are being scored in the Prem are coming in the second half.
And at
first half totals probably haven't really changed all that much. It's just, we're seeing more and more late goals. I mean, that game yesterday, there was what was the game? Fulham and
it was 0-0 at half time, wasn't it? Yeah.
Six goals in the second half, was it?
The goals in the second half have been, if you like unders in a game, you're probably better off taking the first half under line.
Mm.
Because
I do quite like that. If a team's a big favourite and I fancy the unders, I quite like to lay them to be winning at half time or possibly just bet 0-0 at half time.
I think half-time draw is overpriced a lot because especially teams that are often level, you're getting odds of maybe between plus 120 and plus 150 even. That's overpriced.
It's a market that I like to look at in running as well. When you get to like 25 minutes, you can often, around about 22 to 25 minutes, you can often still get even money that it will be a draw. And I just think that doesn't seem like very long to have to last out, really.
Not a lot, no, because it has changed a bit, but there's not
the
usually
first
as much
half
time
often fizzle out, can't it? Yeah, exactly. It can
certainly do. Right, so I just want to say thanks to everyone who's given a great lot of feedback about this live reaction show over the last month or two, really. We've had Neil on, we've had Simon Hold on, we've had Nigel on. And I think your last appearance went down especially well, Neil. And
I'm glad to hear that.
People messaging me. And one thing, a question that often seems to crop up is about the new sort of phenomenon of what we call same game parlays in America or bet builders over here in Europe.
They've got about five names, haven't they? Yeah. Parlay, request a bet.
They're everywhere.
What they started off being called. Yeah.
Now, this was obviously something that was not there when you first started off betting. And
media thing, wasn't it? One company, I won't name them, but there was a betting company in the UK and they started saying to people, if you can make up a weird and wacky bet, you can tweet us and ask us to come up with a price. And people would say, all right, then give me Arsenal to score a goal in both halves, so-and-so to score, and there to be three red cards. And they would have like one guy whose job was to sit there, look at the questions that came in and make up the prices. I mean, it's kind of mad, really, when you think about it. But that's how it worked for over a year. That was how bet builders and in-game parlays worked. And then one of the companies said, well, surely we can build some software whereby, you can just kind of build it yourself and you can just type in how many corners you'd like to go over or under and, how many cards and how many goals and whatever. And they made it a robotic thing. And it's just incredible how it's taken over the market. In a game like this, The large firms in the UK would say that 40% of their action is on builder bits.
Really? 40%?
Yeah. Like, so few people these days are just having, you know, just a single on who's going to win the game. People just want, they want the action, don't they? They want a bigger price.
A bigger price, yeah.
And, you know, they look to try and make something. It's incredible. I mean,
let's get to the nitty gritty though, Neil, because I see a lot of differences of opinion about bet builders, and I think we've certainly seen on the Bet River shows we've done this year when we've had same game parlays, often sort of just two legs. Not, I'm not talking like five or six legs here.
Yes,
that you can really just add up some really great value. But I do know there's others out there who are saying, you know, the books are really cleaning up for these same game parlays. Is it a case of, as everything in perhaps life, you've got to treat things individually? Bet builders, are they for you or not, would you say?
Well, I mean, they're not hugely for me because there's a lot of work to do to sift through the useless ones and find the gold. There's definitely... Because there are so many of them offered on every game, there's always going to be something in there that looks like a mistake. But 90% of the ones I look at, I think, oh, yeah, that's priced correctly. And actually, the margin that bookmakers charge on them is higher than on, you know, kind of inverted commas, normal bets. So generally speaking, you know, punters should try not to have too many. I would tend to say the thing to do is avoid stuff that's really easy to work out. So if you, I don't know, say there's 10 corners in a game and they're going to be split 7-3 to the home side, who are favourites, you know, that's pretty easy for people to work out. There's corners is not a tough gig for the guy who works for the bookie that has to work out the stats on the corners. It's all there, and you know, you're never going to be too far off, and it's hard to have a sort of strong opinion that's going to beat that guy. So if you're just doing a bet on, I don't know, team A to win and team A to get the most corners, it's very unlikely that the bookie's going to make a total hash of pricing that up and you're going to get a brilliant bargain. They're much more likely to get something wrong where maybe there is a sort of an opinion in the price. And, you know, the opinion could be more, I quite like the ones where there's high volatility. So like in NFL, for example, if the game is has the potential to be a super high scoring game, maybe the total's as high as 58 or something like that. Well, now the builder bets can get a bit more sexy. You know, you can find, if you want to, you know, I've bet some huge prices on sort of both quarterbacks to throw 400 plus yards or something like that in games. And obviously you're not going to win very often on those. But sometimes, you know, if a game does have a high total set, it is possible for them to go way, way over. You do get games with, you know, 80, 90 points in the NFL, occasionally where it's just a total passing fest. And obviously also, you know, NFL, we were talking about goals going up in soccer. Points in NFL are going up season on season. So I quite like, if I'm having a builder bet, it's often NFL and it's often on overs and it's often in those kind of games that you just think could go crazy. And I sort of, you know, in stock market terms, I sort of buy the option and go for the sort of cheap one where it's not very likely to happen. But if it happens, you get a really big return.
So we're basically saying, I think, that there's maybe two types of same game parlay which are good. I think the first option might be, for example, say you take a team to win and under 5.5 goals. If they win, it's probably going to cover. You know, you're not going to win many games for 4-3 very often, or win and most corners. Just keep it simple and you get a bit more value. And then the other end of the scale, maybe like that Newcastle game yesterday, it was 4-3. I'm sure there was a lot of big Bet Builder winners there yesterday. I don't know. You could take a certain amount of shots, both teams scoring, and over 5.5, over 6.5. So that end of the scale, then you're getting well paid, potentially some big prices. Would you say that that's sort of the thing? Look at both ends of the spectrum, it might be best.
Yeah, I just think those simple ones where it's two things and we can pretty efficiently price up the two things individually, you're never going to get much value. I mean, the real question with an in-game parlay or a bet builder is about correlation, you know. So when you say, are we going to bet team A to win, bloke A to score, and bloke A to be man of the match? Well, obviously, if he scores, his team is more likely to win. And of course, if he scores, he's more likely to be man of the match. So the three things are correlated. If he doesn't score, it's much less likely that his team wins, and he's probably not going to be man of the match. So, you know, there's a reverse correlation as well. So those things are a little bit harder for the firms to work out, because you can't just multiply. You can't just say, right, what price is he to be man of the match? What price is he to score? And what price are they to win? And multiply the three together, because, it doesn't work like that. If he scores, they're more likely to win. And if he scores, he's more likely to be man of the match. So the price has to be reduced. The question then is, well, how much does the price have to be reduced? And to an extent, this is an opinion. And if we're betting against our opinion, against the opinion of the bookmaker, we've got a shot. Whereas if we're betting just on something statistical, like number of corners, again, you know, parlayed in with number of goals, it's just a stat thing, and it's really unlikely there's going to be a mistake in the pricing. So the opinion things are better for the punters, I think, than the stat things.
I think it's fascinating, and I think it's an area to look even further how these bet builders evolve really in time, because it feels like they've come in to the game very, very quickly. And like you said,
people love them. People do love them. The other thing, of course, is that they're one-sided bets. You know, so if I say to you, well, I'm offering you a bet builder and it's, you know, Arsenal to win and so-and-so to score, it's just a one side. It's not a yes-no proposition. You're just getting one side of the bargain. So probably, you know, if the bookmaker thinks, well, that should really be 7-1, you're probably going to be offered 4-1 or 4.5-1. You're not getting the option to bet -700 that it doesn't happen. So the margins are high for the bookmakers for that reason. And they're sort of slightly being a little bit cheeky with their pricing, I think. I know they're doing very well out of bet builders. People should be a little bit cautious about having too many of them.
I think pick your spot, and it's probably the wisest thing there, Neil.
I mean, they're great fun, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day, we all want to have a bit of fun out there whilst we're betting as well. Let's just check the odds. It's interesting. Manchester City -109 on the money line after 22 minutes. So they're obviously significantly shorter than they were at kickoff, and it's still 0-0. The tie's +240. Arsenal have drifted to +310, probably mostly because it has been City sort of territorially dominating the game. They're not massively been in control as such, but it's intriguing how that line has moved to odds on. Over 2.5 goals now, +140. So under bettors are enjoying that one. I can tell you in the Stuttgart game, Neil, the Heidenheim keeper made two unbelievable saves.
I was wondering about that. I just checked the score, actually, and I was thinking, I don't know whether I should even mention it, but I didn't know that I was running good there. It's about time.
Two fantastic saves, and it's all Stuttgart, as we, it wouldn't take a genius to work out that we're going to dominate the game. And it's just a question of how long Heidenheim can hold out for, I think.
Here. Well, just at least until half time, please.
If that was 0-0 at half time, I would almost be tempted to get out of there, Neil, because They can rack up the score. They've scored at least three goals in more than half their games this season. But I'll check the odds for the in running in a minute for the Stuttgart game. But so Bet Builders' final say is pick your spot, but especially look out for those at the top end where there's some big, where the variation is potentially more volatile. And
I think if the underlying market is volatile, so, you know, in a soccer match that where you're expecting 4.5 goals, like the Spurs game yesterday, I think the Bet Builders are more, there's more variance and they're probably a little bit more interesting to the punters. In low scoring games, I think it's just much easier for the firms to price them up.
Stuttgart -335 on the money line. The Asian handicap line is -1.5 for Stuttgart.
Plus again, they've barely drifted despite 25 minutes being played. But I don't know what you think about that, Steve. I've always been a one to say, if it's, yeah, you're right, they have obviously dominated possession and they've had shots and whatever, but they haven't scored and time is ticking away. And I'm always a big one for thinking that the time decayed is way more important than stuff that's already happened in the game. It's happened. Just because Stuttgart have been on top so far, it doesn't necessarily follow they're going to be on top in the next 10 minutes.
I mean, was very frustrated yesterday, the Leverkusen game. They were 1-0 down at half time. And I was thinking, my automatic brain was thinking, right, get on the Asian handicap in running on Leverkusen. And I was hoping, to be honest with you, for like a -1 Asian handicap line. Oh, Heidenheim, they could score here. Oh, it's on the break. They've actually cleared it. They're that sort of plucky side who find a way. It's cleared away. But I was disappointed that Leverkusen were like -125 at halftime just to win when they were 1-0 down. And I think maybe the books are just, I don't want to call them clever, but they're just not taking the risk because they know that every man and his dog will be looking to get on them, perhaps. As in running, that's another thing for debate in the future, perhaps, Neil. In running betting has become such a big thing in time as well. Yeah. But I know what you mean. I'm kind of with you. I think that they should drift. They should have drifted more than they have because they haven't scored in, half an hour nearly now. And sometimes I suppose you've got to give credit to the opposition that we moan about goalkeepers. We moan about missed chances, but there's often reasons for that. You know, keepers can have good games, right? They can have good seasons, but Neil, yeah, there was. I was going to ask you about something, and I've completely forgotten what I was going to ask you about.
We were on the Bet Builders. You were done.
No, it was something completely different, which I had. I should have written it down. It came to me about 5 minutes ago. that's it. It's right. Yeah, we were talking on the shows this week about what we call now the business end of the season, right? For soccer in Europe, it's the stage where titles are won, relegations are made, whatever, awards are won, everything like that. It's kind of the same for soccer bettors, because for those who do, these days it's more the calendar year, actually, because there's so many leagues across the world. But for those who are more doing the traditional season from August through to May, you are now might be looking at your figures on your charts and you might be in profit, you might be in a loss, you might be roughly level. How is your betting mentality now, depending on the sort of the position you are in the season? Would you just keep going? And
I mean, I definitely
do you become more aggressive, more defensive, you know?
I definitely don't become more aggressive or more defensive depending on how I'm doing. I hope I don't. It's tempting to do that. And punters, you know, we're all human and it's, you know, you should try not to let results affect your method of thinking. But what I do find is that weather becomes a big factor in the UK. Obviously in the Premier, you know, the quality of the pitches is outstanding and, you know, they've all got unlimited money to spend on ground staff and whatever. But when the weather's a bit sort of filthy and colder, goals are slightly down. And as you get into sort of April, May time, the total goals do go up in the Prem. And I tend to be an overs better. So I probably play a little bit bigger towards the end of the season for that reason.
yeah, goals do generally go up, don't they? And it's lower leagues as well. You're right. The pitches will get better as we enter May, just naturally, as long as we get a little bit more warmth. I don't know what it's like down there in the south, Neil, but...
Well, I'm on the south coast. It's always nice. The sun's pitching in. I'm thinking about going for a walk on the beach later.
Oh, it's all right for some. To be fair,
I'll be celebrating right my German football winnings. So, you know, the I might go and buy an ice cream.
By 99 on the beach.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you do make a very good point there about you. I mean, any time of the year, you do have to... A lot of people don't factor in the weather at all, which that's fine.
I don't think the market factors it in enough. I mean, clearly, you know, the totals are getting slightly higher this year because the averages, as we've said many times already today, are up. But I'm not sure that there's enough discrepancy between, you know, the pricing in December and the pricing in April or whatever. I'm really looking forward to this little period that's coming up. It'll be interesting.
It has been a challenging years for a lot of bettors on the soccer field in Europe, with, you know, sort of new rules brought in, the extra time and everything. And, you know, I do get messages from some people saying, I don't know if I'm going to be in profit this season. I'm right on the edge, close here. Give some advice, some mental advice, a bit of mental coaching here, Neil, if you don't mind, to sort of how people can keep their heads, stay calm for the last sort of, what are we entering April now? So say the last 6 weeks of the season. I know you often say this before about writing down bets at the start of the day, things like that. Is it just keeping things simple?
I think that's a really good thing to do. I mean, just, I said it on the last show, but I'll repeat it in case anyone wasn't watching, you know. One of the worst things you can do is to change the bets that you were going to do or the size of the bets that you were going to do according to how you're getting on the day. If you sit down in the morning and say to yourself, right, okay, these are my strongest bets of the day. These are my medium-sized bets. These are my more fun bets or my weaker bets. And put an amount by the side of each one and stick to it, you'll do a lot better than if you keep... you know, thinking, oh, thank God I won on that game. Now I can play bigger on the next game. That's not really a winning mentality at all. So, we enter a different period of the season. The game is evolving. Soccer is evolving as a game. More goals are being scored. I think it is a basis change. I don't think we'll see a reversion to what we've seen in past years. I mean, it may be that 0.6 of a goal in the Premier is too big a jump for one season, and maybe that will go down a little bit. But I think, broadly speaking, the five-year trend is for goals to keep going up and up. And I don't see that changing, and I think people need to adapt to that. But, you just got to wake up each day and look at the situation you're in, aren't you? Worrying about whether you're winning or losing or how it's been going is none of that's productive.
Raymond Reddington says, how did Gladbach not score yesterday? Bundesliga did for a lot of people yesterday, Raymond. I've never seen so many chances missed a Leipzig game. And I know there was a lot of frustration out there. This weekend there's been games that should have had more goals in them, and I think it's just a question of, you've got to trust yourself, stick with it. There's always next weekend or next midweek, and you know, you don't have to force the issue on, say, an evening match that you don't like getting involved in. For example, you know, people might try and chase the losses tonight on Marseille against PSG, which I'm going to finish the show with, Neil. A big game on the south coast.
Oh, yeah, tell us about that. Yeah, because I like to hear your French views. I don't get involved in the French too often.
Yeah, it's a match where I am, for my punishment, a Marseille fan. Leeds and Marseille for me, Neil. And this is a match where PSG have just constantly dominated Marseille in the last decade. Mbappe, you've got to wait for the team sheet here, because there has been some talk that Mbappe might not start. I will believe that when I see it. Of course, he's got to start against Marseille in Le Classique. And when he starts, he's fired up for this sort of fixture. He's, I think, to score at any time, he's around even money. And if he's on that score, on the starting sheet, I think you've got to back him. as an anytime scorer. Mixed opinions on the Because We Win show this week from me and James Easton. James likes the under three goals. I quite like the over three goals in it. So, again, it is very much lineup dependent. If Mbappe doesn't start, then it'd be fair that the goal line would go down by about a quarter or even a half, to be fair, as Arsenal come on the attack here. They've actually grown into this game at the Etihad in the last 10 minutes. But, yeah, if I had to give a prediction, I would go with my PSG probably to win something like 3-1 or 2-1. They just have a knack of getting the result. I mean, they're quite tempting on the money line, you know, PSG here, considering their record on this ground. Yeah. But it's such a big fixture. I mean, this is the biggest match in France. It's not a derby as such, because they're so, geographically anyway, they're so
sure.
But in terms of the biggest rivalry, there's serious hate here. Away fans not allowed and things like that. Plus 104 PSG with BetRivers, which is about on the skinny side now. They were trading bigger earlier in the week. Probably, I've seen more news that Mbappe probably will start. That's why they've drifted in. So, but if you're after a bet for the game late, I would say it's not a match to go big on, and it's a good one for maybe in running for like cards and things like that. Wait for the lineups, but I mean, we talk about same game parlay. PSG winning over 1.5 goals or over 2.5 could be worth your nibble there for those who are interested in that fixture. You don't really get involved in the French league too often, do you, Neil?
Not too often. I mean, I do half keep an eye on it. I'm not averse to it, but yeah, it wouldn't be one of my main ones. I'm just looking at the outright Premier League betting, and we're coming very close to a spot where Liverpool are about to go favourite in running on that. So the market, you know, obviously if this match today does finish in a draw, Liverpool would be a solid favourite. They'll be like 2.25 plus 1.25, most likely, I would say. And
teetering point. This is the point now. 35 minutes in the first half.
It's a huge moment in the whole season, really, isn't it? Right now. Yeah. What happened?
Would you cash out, Neil? Have you nil-nil? Are you
cash out? I'm happy with it. I'm happy with my half-time nil-nil. It's I think that currently the draw is about minus 300 half-time draw. I'm pretty happy with that. I mean, what have we got? 11 minutes to get through.
9 minutes plus stoppage.
9 minutes.
Which there I don't think there's been anything major in terms of stoppages. It has been a tight game. As this can happen, you know, when you've got two title contenders against each other, and at the minute, those who were looking at, say, under are in the driving seat, for sure. So, well, Neil, that's our 45 minutes up.
Oh, and it's raced by. We never even got to talk about tomorrow's Italian games.
But if you've got a pick for tomorrow, let us know. Do you have
I was Sassuolo playing Udinese. No, I mean, that's just got over and all
is
over.
That, Sassuolo is like blind over for you.
Pretty much. I love them. They're about my favourites, actually.
I did actually have a look at that card tomorrow.
There's a lot of good games tomorrow, actually. Roma will play another one.
Roma are the team I like for goals at the minute.
Yeah, that will be it. I'm bound to play over in that game as well, Lecce Roma. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we appreciate your time as always, Neil. And
it's been fun. Thank
great
you.
Great stuff on here. Thanks to anyone who watched live or on demand, and especially Easter Sunday. I know it's quite hard for a lot of you to catch this one live, but and thanks for the comments. We'll continue to endeavour to produce these really good live reaction shows from whoever's on with me. And I say, stay safe, take care, and best of luck, whatever you are taking this week and, of course, this evening. Cash those winning tickets. Goodbye, Neil, and enjoy your Easter eggs this evening.
Cheers. I will. Thank you, Steve.
Take care, everyone, and see you next time.